Hey, it's Chaos Queen here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. This is episode 69, folks. That's right. Bow chicken wow wow. I am, of course, TFGN Mike, and joining me in her GCRN podcast debut is the lovely Chaos Queen. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Doing all right.
That's good, that's good. And today we head back in time to 25 years ago, July 1st, 1998. And we didn't want to miss a thing as Armageddon was released in theaters.
I could spend my life in this sweet surrender. I could stay lost in this moment forever. Every moment spent with you is a moment I treasure.
For just the facts, just to get all that out of the way, folks, the movie's 25 years old, as I said. Everybody probably knows most of this, but it was distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distributions. It was directed by Michael Bay, back when he did actual good movies. Produced by Jonathan... Screenplay was done by Jonathan Hensley and J.J. Abrams. Adaptation was done by Tony Gilroy, who just did a Star Wars thing, I think, recently. It was produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, along with Michael Bay, starring Bruce Willis, Billy Bob Thornton, Liv Tyler, Ben Affleck, Will Patton, Peter Stormare, Keith David, Steve Buscemi, and more. The music was composed by Trevor Rabin. We'll get to this more later, but I love the score to this, and the soundtrack is just amazing.
Absolutely. To die for.
Absolutely. Now, I have seen this movie a lot in the last 25 years. It's probably been about a decade since I actually watched it, but the songs from some of this from the soundtrack and just moments that I'm just one of those, I remember a lot of geeky things, folks. She, on the other hand, has never seen this movie before until just now.
Today.
when yeah. We watched it, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, folks, you're hearing us somewhere around Christmas time because that's how I roll around here. I pre-record everything.
Merry Christmas.
That's right. So, yeah, I think episode 69 is going to air. When is it going to air? As long as I can keep talking without scroll, it should air the second week of December. So we are almost at Christmas time, ladies and gentlemen. And Armageddon, what a better way to celebrate Christmas with a great Christmas movie. I mean, Armageddon has all the Santas in it as it could ever want. I mean, it's not like it's a movie that takes place at Christmas from 10 years previous to when Armageddon came out.
Remember when we first met John McClane? Argyle picked him up from the plane and took him down the Nakatomi Tower to meet with Holly. He came to get her back and to be her man, but Hans and his buddies fucked up the plan, and that's about when everything went sour at the Christmas party. And the terrorists were overzealous, but it was sweet when they killed Ellis. And with a little help from Alan, John McClane kicked ass. We're gonna die. John McClane,
distraction, and there was no way McClane could know that Hans Gruber was Simon's bro, and that's what made it Die Hard with a Vengeance, with Samuel Jackson. And the good cop wouldn't miss this, even though it wasn't Christmas. He didn't get any help from Alan, but only in part. John McClane, now we got a choice, and the choice is plain. We can live free, or we can die hard as we can. From taking on a terrorist he's never met, to taking on an F-35 jet, with the greatest car explosions by far. They sure look sweet, man. And we know what the basic gist is, there ain't no Alan, and it's not Christmas. We don't know, but we're pretty sure that John McClane kicks out.
Get together, have a few laughs.
I'm going to die hard on that hill, folks. Sorry. Just going to do it. Yep, 100%. All right, so yeah, those are just the facts, all that good stuff. As I mentioned, as far as our history with the film, I've seen it off and on over the years. I think I was, I'm pretty sure I went to see it in theaters when it debuted. Now, you just saw it today. Had you ever heard of this movie before?
I'm told that I have. I'm told that I did watch it in the early 2000s, but I have no recollection of it at all. None of it was familiar. It was brand new to me.
Very cool, very cool. So, what did you think? Like, someone who has never, who doesn't remember seeing it before, so basically just going in as someone who had never seen it before, what was your experience watching this?
Well, honestly, I was expecting something boring. and it was really, really funny. It had a great cast, and I mean, besides the part that made me cry.
Yes, we will get to that.
It was really... Yeah, it was really funny. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, this is always a movie, quoting certain things from it. It's one of Michael Clark Duncan's, who played Bear in the movie. It's one of his... I think this might have been the first movie I ever saw him in. And as that character, he was just so good in this movie. And, I mean, Bruce Willis is Bruce Willis. Ben Affleck was just kind of coming on the scene, because I know him and Matt Damon had Good Will Hunting out. Maybe Good Will Hunting wasn't out yet. I don't remember off the top of my head without looking it up. But Armageddon is the story, for those that do and don't know, most people that don't know, it's basically Harry Stamper, played by Bruce Willis, his daughter, Gracie. Harry's an oil driller. He's been an oil driller for 30 years. And there's a vicious, life-sucking bitch heading towards Earth, and her name is Dottie. And
Dottie.
She's a global killer.
Yep.
Got an asteroid heading towards Earth, and the only way they can not have it destroy the planet is if you drill 800 feet and put a nuke inside the asteroid. It's got a lot of great moments. It's got a lot of funny moments. The tail end of the movie is nothing but emotions. And it's just so good. It's just so good. Absolutely.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. I remember, folks, and I'm gonna tell them this story, because I have to tell them this story. When I first asked her, when I first asked Chaos to do this, she's like, isn't that just a movie about astronauts? I said, no, they're not astronauts. They're not astronauts. At least not at the beginning, they're not astronauts. And she's like, yeah, it is. I said, it's not.
I thought it was a completely different movie.
Which movie did you think it was? Do you remember?
Oh, no. A freaking stupid, boring-ass astronaut movie?
And as you can clearly tell, it's not a boring astronaut movie.
Oh, my God. All the feels.
Yeah.
Oh.
100%. Do you have a favorite character from the movie?
Yeah. I don't remember his name. The dude that was riding the rocket.
That would be Rockhound. That's Steve Buscemi. Rockhound,
yeah. Yeah, him. But he's like, okay, he plays like the perfect crazy person in like whatever he plays in. So
yeah, he does. Yep.
It was funny.
For me, I like them all, but if I was going to pick one, I would actually probably pick Lev, Russian cosmonaut. Because I love that. I love him. He's so funny.
That was such a bad Russian accent. That's what made it so funny. I was dying. Oh my God. That was fantastic.
American components, Russian components, all made in Taiwan. Oh, I love that line. All made in Taiwan. I love that line. Love that line. God. I love Bruce Willis as Harry. I like Ben as AJ. I like Liv. I do like... it's such a likable, great cat. Even... Keith David, who is the General Kimsey guy who, you know, I wouldn't trust these retards with a potato gun.
I did not like that statement.
Okay, I didn't like the wording, but again, this is 25 years ago.
I know.
Yeah, I don't like it either, but just the way
he... It was kind of funny. That was literally the only line in the movie that I would say, you know, kind of... switch that wording or something, and
yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, you can still use the potato guns, just use a different other word.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
Potato gun.
That's right. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, nothing offensive about potato guns. My knowledge. I mean, potatoes might not like being shot out of guns, but you never know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you would say that's probably your only low light of the film? Was there anything else you didn't like about it?
I didn't like really the ending. I understand happy ending, you know, and all that. But they really could have touched more on the fact that she wouldn't be like, oh, yay, my fiancé, with her dad dead. You know, like he just died.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They could have, you know, but the movie was really long, so I kind of get it, but that's like, you know.
The pacing of it, I think, was good. The time length is fine for the story they're telling. I think what is great about the way that this film was made is that every heavy moment in the film, even every comedic moment in the film, it has its own time. Like, it doesn't stay too long. Like, when it is showing you at the end where Truman, Billy Bob Thornton's character, where he looks at Grace and she's looking at the screen. It's right after Harry says the final goodbye message to Grace. They look at each other after Harry sets the bomb off, and you just see her kind of like sprawled out on this table, like having an emotional moment. Obviously, like, hello, her dad just died because he's saving the world. That moment doesn't take too long, and it doesn't stay too long either. You feel the emotion of the moment, but then you realize, oh, wait, this is the point of Harry's sacrifice, is so AJ can come home to her. I agree with you, though. I mean, I think it's a little, I don't want to say jumpy. It doesn't jump from one to the other, but it...
No, but there could have been a little more thought put into that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not like, you know, I mean, she's going to be sad. But anyway, that moment when AJ, when he shoved AJ back in the elevator thingy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, my heart just couldn't handle it. It was just so perfect. It was like literally I wanted him to say, I'm her past, you're her future.
And the funny
I just wanted him to say that.
So we watched this together, folks, through Hulu's watch party. And the funny thing is, before the scene even happened, she's like, oh, I know what he's going to do, because that's what any parent. I'm like, yes, I know, like, you haven't even seen the movie, but, you know, your parents, so you obviously would know, kind of thing. So,
like, that's my baby. No.
But you're right, that moment where Harry just shoves in the elevator, and he's like, see that Truman gets this. Make sure that Truman gets that. And he's like, Harry, no. And you think at the beginning of the movie, when Harry is shooting at him with a shotgun, that you think that, oh, that's never, that really, you don't think that that beginning moment of him chasing him on the oil rig is going to lead to, I've always thought of you like a son, AJ.
Yeah.
And it does.
But I mean, it's true of honestly any, you know, parent-child relationship. You're gonna have that rocky, you know, thing, but you still love each other. You know, I mean, I don't know about pointing a gun at them. That seems a little Alabama to me, but, you know. But.
Yeah, it's very old-fashioned as far as, like, you know, oh, you're not good enough for my daughter. You know.
Yeah, but nobody's ever good enough for your kids. You know.
Yeah. What else about this one? What are some of your favorite moments from it?
There were a couple. Okay, one was like, okay, we found out we're gonna die. The world's gonna blow up. We're screwed. And he's playing with animal crackers on his girlfriend's tummy. Yeah, that's... He says, you know, do you think anybody else in the world is doing this at this exact time? Honey, ain't nobody ever thought about sticking an animal cracker in his lady's panties, okay?
Okay, but...
This is... No. No, honey, ain't nobody thinking about that.
Okay, you're right on the technical aspect of it. However, the emotional aspect of that scene is that...
It was really sweet. It really was.
It was really sweet, but the thing of it is that's the point where Harry told Truman and told NASA and told the government, look, if we don't have a night off before this big mission, you ain't get, like, we need one... We've asked for... not to pay taxes ever again, and one night off before we go potentially kill ourselves to save this planet of ours. So, and you see them all doing what they love. You know, Rockhound goes out and finds a bunch of strippers. Actually, finds one stripper and all that and everything else. And and Max goes and does his stuff. And AJ and Grace go and have the romantic moment, and really that's the only place in the entire movie that you could put I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith.
Oh god. It was so nice. I love that song. And I don't want to miss a thing. I love and that song. That's so great.
And it's funny, folks, because when I asked her about doing the podcast, she's like, yeah, sure. I said, oh yeah. Well, when we get to the point of doing the podcast, you don't want to miss a thing. She's like, oh, great. Now that's going to be stuck in my head. I said, that's the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Special effects in this. Wow. And this is 1998.
Time, time, that was damn.
Mm-hmm.
That was damn. It looked really, really good.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I know they did a lot of practical effects. I know they did a lot of other actual special effects, but when that shuttle lands at the end of the movie and you just see that static shot of, you could basically take a screen, it just, oh man, just before they even get off the shuttle, when you just see the craft land, all the explosions, even when Rockhound starts using the gun on the asteroid and when he's got space dementia thinking he's gonna, I'll just blast you to kingdom, that's not gonna work, Rockhound. Get your mind right, buddy. And the actors and actresses in this cast is fully loaded.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful.
Yeah. We've already mentioned Bruce Willis, Billy Bob Thornton, Ben Affleck, Liv Tyler, Will Patton. Will Patton is a, he was Chick. He was the one you were like, ooh, his eyes. No, go back to the other guy. Go back to, you, like, in the beginning scene when we were watching it, folks, and they were doing the whole
super,
table.
Super, super pretty eyes.
Yeah. He has done a lot of stuff that I love the movies that he has done. I could do a whole episode just on his, just a retrospective on movies that I like that he's done. Let's see here. He was obviously in this. He was in 93's Romeo is Bleeding as Marty. I don't remember that one. He was in The Client. He was in Copycat. He was in Fled. I love Fled. Fled's another good movie. That's from 96. Obviously Armageddon. He was in The Punisher from 2004. He was in Gone in 60 Seconds from 2000. Oh man, that movie. I love that movie too. Yeah, he's got a really great body of work, and he's such a great actor. He's so versatile. Who else stood out to you for actors and actresses in this?
That's that lady, the astronaut lady.
Yes. Jennifer Watts, played by played by Jessica Steen. Yeah.
My word.
Uh-huh.
Goodness.
Yeah, she's got some great eyes.
She, ooh, my. And she was fabulous. I mean, if I kick you in the ball. Best scene ever. Oh, God.
And just the way, because at the time, the scene that you're talking about there, it's she's trying to tell them this stuff, and
Buscemi, and they're all, she's hot, right?
Yeah. And then she's just like, bear! Yes, ma'am. Like, so if I come by and kick you in the ball, I'll just float away.
That's right.
Funny thing is,
great.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking at Jessica Steen's filmography on Wikipedia, and I would say Armageddon is the biggest movie she'd ever been in. Like, she's not in
a... I haven't seen her before, so...
Yeah.
But that doesn't say much, because I haven't seen the vast majority of the movies that you've brought up, so...
Sorry.
Oh, it's just... Yeah.
And I was looking for... She's one of those actresses that does a lot of stuff, but isn't, like... She's one of those ones that jumps around from role to role. She's one of those actresses, actor or actresses, that gets a role here or there kind of thing. Like, her TV credits debut in 1983 and go up until 2021. There's not, like... She played a role. She played Dr. Rebecca Froy in the episode Beautiful Dreamer of Grey's Anatomy. I haven't seen Grey's Anatomy. I couldn't tell you what her performance
was. Really?
Yeah. She played a doctor in one episode of Grey's Anatomy. She was in an episode of CSI, the original CSI show. She was in an episode of Kojak. She's one of those one or two episode kind of actresses when it comes on to TV. I need to go back, and luckily I have this on Amazon. I need to go back and rewatch 2003's Mutant X, because she was apparently Dr. Sarah Stanton in that, and I do not remember her in that.
Mutant X?
It's an X. It was a 2003 version, TV version of what they wanted to do with X-Men on FX at the time. It's got John Shay in it. It's got a bunch of other people. It's a good show. Huh. Might have to add that to the schedule of podcasts I do in the future. But no, she was great as Dr. Jenner, as whatever her, Jennifer Watts, the astronaut specialist that they have here. That was, and her playing off against Liam Fichtner, who was Colonel Willie Sharp. So good. What else about Armageddon? Is there anything else that we need to discuss? Okay, here we go. So this is one of those... I'm not laughing because of whatever. I'm laughing because this is funny, because I was just talking about this last month. By the time this airs, people, it'll be last month when Kyle and Kai and I were talking. Kai Dragon Media, folks, go over, check them out over on YouTube. You can also check out Chaos on YouTube as well. The Chaos Queen, or the Chaos Queen, will do all the promotion at the end. But I was just talking to them about the superhero universes and the multiverses, and like, I miss single story films. This to me, you did not need a sequel after this, and I, to my knowledge, they've never done one. And this is the film, this type of film, where beginning, middle, and end of story.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Okay, yes. But there are, okay, we can debate about this like all night. Yes, we can. And we will,
probably.
But this film was good. It was great. It was great writing. It was great directing. It was great acting. My words are muddling together. It was just, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I have no qualms. I mean, there were a couple things like, you know, psychological aspects that I would have put in, but that's just me. But it was a great movie.
Yeah.
But like with other things, I like the whole Marvel universe, the whole DC universe thing. Like, I want to see about the different characters. I like that.
And I like it too. I do. I absolutely do. And this is a discussion for a different day, but
yes.
I like that, except it's so ingrained in geek culture and pop culture right now that it seems like that's all we have. You don't really have movies like this one or like other ones that I'll bring up to you later at some point where they put
so much into the story and like you get a little bit of each character. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love that.
Yeah, you learn about each one of the between Harry, Truman, who is Billy Bob Thornton, AJ, Grace, Chick, Rockhound, Lee Sharp, Oscar, who was Owen Wilson's character, Bear, Michael Clark Duncan's character. All of these characters, they each get their own moment.
Mm-hmm.
Each get multiple of their own moments.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
Yeah, it's because so you fun. Learn and you become invested in them, and that is a good movie. When you become invested in the characters. Like, I actually physically cried when he was sending AJ back up in the elevator. So, I mean, you know, when it makes you feel things, that's a good movie.
100%. 100%. So, some more questions that we usually ask. Obviously, the film kept our interest throughout, unless it didn't. Mm-hmm. I don't think it didn't not keep our interest, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm usually a Gabby little shit, and, I didn't talk a whole lot, so.
We were just kind of watching it and enjoying the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Would you recommend this film to people? As someone who had never seen it before, is this one that you will now say, hey, if you haven't seen this already, go watch it?
Yes, actually, I plan on messaging my family chat later on because I think my daughter should watch it. Because I think it's the kind of thing that she would absolutely love.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, and talking about the music, folks, oh man. There are movies out there that do music, both soundtrack and score, because scoring is different from soundtrack, that do them well. But compare 25 years ago to today, there's no real comparison because movies back then, you had these people...
Back then, you actually had music that had emotion and, you know, really deep, meaningful lyrics. Nowadays, not so much.
I guess. I don't know. I don't watch a lot of modern movies that don't have... like, every emotional moment in any Marvel movie, it's like, oh, you can use... what's the thing they use in the... So the music in this, it's put together so well between composing with Trevor Rabin and the rock and roll 1998 score with Aerosmith and, mm-hmm. and everybody else on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so fun. What did you like the most about the music in the movie?
How well it fit with the scenes that it was put in. Like how everything just, it fits so well with the emotions, with everything that was going on. And it didn't, it wasn't like, you know, here's this beautiful moment and let me just blast some heavy metal or something. Yeah. It fit perfectly with like even with the scoring, with the adventure scenes and stuff. It just all fit. And I love when a movie meshes like that.
Yeah, 100%. This was, oh wow. So at the time for the release of the film, I did not know this. I knew it was advertised, but I did not notice. I did not remember that it was advertised in Super Bowl 32 at the cost of $2.6 million for that commercial. And I remember all of the fast food commercials back then. I think it was McDonald's. It could have been somebody else, but the scene where Rockhound says, oh, so this is what the end of the world looks like. They used that in the marketing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was so good. 25 years later, it isn't a movie I visit re-oft. Oh, well, now I can't. What did you do?
Revisit often.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Itching my head or heart or something. Yeah, it isn't a movie that I revisit often. Mm-hmm. It is a movie that I would if I really had the compunction to ugly cry the last hour and a half.
You're not wrong. Oh my goodness. That is... Whew.
We were watching it. She said to me, she goes, wait, so that's all the funny stuff? I said, there'll be some more funny stuff, but yeah, that's kind of it for now. And then all of a sudden, all the explosions happen, all the emotions happen. And yeah, I think the funniest scene, and it's not really funny, it's just fun for me to see it because I've seen it in, I remember seeing when shuttles would land on the news and stuff. The scene where they get out of the shuttle and they're sliding down the slider and the people on the ground are catching them and whatever. Like, that looks like, because it looks like a giant water slide. It's not water slide, but it, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
you know, that was kind of, gave me a little chuckle. But yeah, the rest of it is all emotion. And that's what movies should do. They should make you feel every emotion on the spectrum. And like you said, the music and with all of the way the story is played out, this movie does not have let me pause this and get up and go to the bathroom, or I need to get something to drink, or I need to go do what. No, you're going to sit there, you're going to watch it,
yeah,
you're going to be captivated by it.
You're going to want to go to the bathroom and get your popcorn and everything beforehand.
Yep.
Because you will not want to pause it. Mm-mm. It's just like there's not a plausible spot. It's just the story, even if the story is moving slow,
yeah,
which it doesn't really, but I mean, like, if there are certain things that are like, you know, okay, this is a love scene, you know, whatever, it switches from that really quickly.
Yeah.
And yeah,
good.
You don't want to miss it because it's like you want all of it. It just adds to everything at the end, you know?
100% it does, yeah. And it's funny you say there's not a possible moment, and you are absolutely right, except for right before or right at the point where you see the scene and you hear the song come up before it really starts. You could pause it right before the animal cracker scene. That's the only place you could actively pause it and be okay. But you don't want to, because you want to see the guy make a fool out of himself.
Yes, it's freaking adorable. But, I mean, come on. No.
I didn't hear you react to it when we were watching the movie.
My eyes rolled so fucking hard. They're in China somewhere right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, really?
I just rolled so hard it was audible across the room.
Oh my god.
So
it was cute, but I mean, really, guy, really?
So, I was going to say was, I don't think I heard you react to the tail end of the scene. Because Ben Affleck starts out with this old romantic type voice as he's taking the animal cracker up north and then taking it down south. At the end of the down south, he's like, way down. He puts on an Australian accent for like a half of a second.
Down under.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, Ben.
And then he tucks the animal cracker
inside
in her panties.
Yep.
Like, no, this one goes, no. Cute and everything, but I mean, no, he'd be getting an animal cracker in his eyeball. Like, get this stuff, forget it.
Oh, what a scene. A movie.
It was adorable.
It's a great film. Anyone who hasn't seen it should watch it. Yep.
Oh, I agree. I agree. 100%.
All right. So we have a universal rating system that we use. It is 0 to 5 with half points. What would you rate Armageddon 0 to 5?
Like, comparing it to what? Like, I mean, like, okay, like, just like, overall, just that movie
specifically. Yeah, just that movie specifically.
4.8. There's a couple things that I think could have been implemented, but it's fine without it, but...
Okay. What do you think could have been implemented?
Okay, I like psychological... things going into my movies. I want to know why my characters are feeling a certain way, and yeah.
So, what would you want to put in?
Well, I would like to give Gracie's character a little more depth.
Okay.
You know, I mean, hers is like really the only character that really could. They could have done so much more with her. She could have had so much more emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I get that they weren't trying to like go in that direction, that they were trying to go more action and stuff like that, and of course have that emotional, you know, side to things, but not pull you away too much from the story.
Yeah. I think she has a lot of really good emotional moments though.
Mm.
Like when she stands
it
up to her father.
Shallow.
Is it really?
Yeah. It seems shallow, yeah. It doesn't... There's not a whole lot of psychological background. You don't know, like,
right.
What happened with mom, you know, why did this happen, you know? There's like, a lot of questions that weren't, like, even placed. Like, they weren't there. So, I mean, it wasn't part of the movie to begin with. It was just things that I would have, like, just flipped in, you know?
I mean, they do have that scene where she's like, you know, I don't blame you for mom leaving or this, that, and the other thing or whatever else. And They do have the scene with her, you know, saying all the mean things to Harry at the beginning because he's like, I'm going to shoot your boyfriend. Bye. Doesn't go down like that, but it is what it is. But then you get to the point where, oh my God, you may not be able to save them. And him, that line of hers, that is my father up there. Like,
I loved that. That was what I was looking for.
Yeah.
That kind of energy, that kind of emotion. Because I'm sorry, even the most composed person would not just be sitting there like, oh, okay, my entire family, all I have left in the world is up on a friggin' asteroid. Even the most composed person in the world wouldn't just be sitting there like, duh, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they would put the camera on her. She wouldn't be saying a damn thing. Yeah, she's pretty to look at, but give her some freaking depth, you know?
Yeah, 100%. But I'm right there with you. 4.5 is a damn good rating for this movie, and it's just a really good film.
I really enjoyed it.
And I'm glad you enjoyed it. And
Thank you for bringing it to my attention. I really like that.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff, and we'll come back to close the show and let Chaos give all her promotional stuff out as well. We'll be back right after this.
Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. Slide up to the bar alongside Ryan Daly and a rotating cast of guest hosts as they celebrate the long-running, award-winning television series, one hilarious episode at a time. New episodes of Cheerscast drop every Thursday, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marcum 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marcum 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Total chaos, you can imagine.
All right, folks, we are back here inside Studio 2009, and did we miss anything?
I don't think so.
I don't know. All right, Miss Chaos Queen, tell us all about your lovely YouTube channel and what you do on YouTube and anything else you want to promote.
Well, I am on YouTube and Twitch, and I stream semi-regularly, like minimum of 3 times a week. I'm a variety streamer. I suck at like every game known to man, but I have a blast doing it.
She's lying, folks. I've watched a lot of her streams in the last month and a half. She's lying.
I am not lying.
In the last 2 months since I started watching her channel, she's lying. She's pretty damn good. And she and her friends have a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a hoot.
That's right. That's right. And her channel, along with all of her friend's channel that I usually end up watching streams from, will be in the show notes. You can go check out all those YouTube channels as well.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
I was just going to be smart enough, so don't forget to like and subscribe.
Yeah, you forgot the middle part. Ladies and gentlemen, go over to YouTube, check out Chaos Queen. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.
And don't forget to tickle that bell.
As for notifications.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't need a notification bell because I have a subscription page and I refresh it pretty much once every 10 minutes. I don't need notifications, thank you. I love that they're there, and I love that they're there for the people that need them, but I pay attention. All right, folks. Any other final things you want to say about the film, the music, the actors, the action, the romance, any of that kind of stuff before I run through the closing here?
Nothing. It was just all beautiful. I loved watching it. I mean, it's, you can watch it with your family, so it's family friendly. Yeah, you can just kick back and watch. It's just a great movie. I just loved it. It's just a great movie.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. All right, folks. Thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. There are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. We are on X, formerly Twitter, at Geekcast Radio. You can follow the show at It's Studio 2009, ITSSTUDIO 2009. I am at TFGO and Mike. Are you on? You're on Twitter X, aren't you?
Me?
How you?
I'm on Twitter. I refuse to call it X, but yes, I am. At ZKS Queen.
All right.
That is my brand.
That is her brand, unless she wants to change it to some sort of mad woman. I don't know why she would want to do that.
That's a whole nother podcast.
You guys, I've been trying to figure out a way to work that in somewhere for the past 2 months. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. You can also check us out, Studio 2009 Podcast, over there on Facebook as well. Join us next time when I will have the Three Mics, Three Furious with us. It's going to be me and two other mics. We are going to be talking about yet another Ben Affleck movie that celebrates 20 years.
Wow.
This year, we're going to be talking about 2003's Paycheck with Ben Affleck, Uma Thurman, Dent from Aaron Eckhart, and a bunch of other people are in that. So Paycheck from 2003, this is the one with the guy that does the reverse engineering and the time travel and this to that and the other thing and knowing your own future and all this and all that. It's a good movie, so it's going to be Three Mics, Three Furious next time around here inside Studio 2009. For now, I am TFGO and Mike with
the Chaos Queen.
Hear us back in the studio soon.
What's your contingency plan?
Contingency plan?
Your backup plan. You got to have some kind of backup plan, right?
No, we don't have a backup plan. This is it.
And this is the best that you could, that the government, the U.S. government can come up with? I mean, you're NASA, for crying out loud. You put a man on the moon. You're geniuses. You're the guys that think this shit up. I'm sure you got a team of men sitting around somewhere right now just thinking shit up and somebody backing them up. You telling me you don't have a backup plan? That these 8 Boy Scouts right here, that is the world's hope? That's what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Damn it.